co-host here, Lori T, and I are going to be talking about episode 62, The Masks of Discouragement. Just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. Masks of Discouragement. We are going to talk a little bit today about when we put ourselves out there, whether it be professionally, personally, and we get discouraged because we say, you know, we're told we have all these talents and abilities, yet we do everything that we're told, and we still maybe don't get recognition, or we, you know, the tools and stuff we're given and that we have don't always work. And then it's like, what do you do with that? How do you wrap your head around that? I know personally, I've done a lot of, you know, virtual online things, and I put myself out there, you know, set up some different shops and sales things for sales. And I, you know, supposedly be some passive income, and I'm getting nothing, crickets. And so it's pretty discouraging that I'm like, I don't even want to continue doing this, but I enjoy it because it's things at my wheelhouse. And I, yeah, so just, we're going to kind of talk about that. We've all experienced that in some way. And, yeah, that's kind of where we're going to tackle today. So anybody would like to get started? I mean, I can get started, or T, Lori, if you want to jump in, go for it.
I liked what you said. We've all done this, that this is a part of life. It's not a fun part of life. I think, you know, I was smiling when you were saying masks of discouragement, because I was thinking, goodness gracious, I was just on this vacation. I'm talking about all these grand ideas. And then Satan was like immediately attacking me. As all these grand ideas were coming in my head, I'm like, well, why would you do that? Why would you? Because nobody really wants what you have. Nobody, it's not really going to make a difference. You know, this is all.
Who
just,
are you to think you can do that?
Right. Right, where do you get these grandiose ideas? And I'm like, wait a minute. And I want to learn how to better counter challenge that. And I think that's why we talked about this. We, as you said, EJ, we all go through this, but especially those of us that have the, is it left brain, the creative side, and the right brain's logic, the other way.
No, the other way around.
Okay, sorry, I twisted it. So the right brain is that extra creative side, right?
Yeah.
And those of us that have that, and I think, I don't know if it's just the way our creator made us, but those of us that have that creative side in whatever area it's in, and I'm putting myself in there too, my creativity is different than other people's, but we tend to wear a heart on our sleeve, right? We walk around like giant pin cushions, I think. And we just know we're going to get poked and pinned and prodded. And, you know, we talk about as authors that we bleed out onto that page. That's our heart and soul that you're ripping apart or not liking or loving. It's so hard. Same thing when you get on a stage, when you make a piece of jewelry, when you do a beautiful picture, you're putting yourself, it's nobody else, you out there. Mm-hmm. And then when it doesn't get the 100% response that we would desire or like.
Or it doesn't get any response.
Or it doesn't get any response. I know. It's okay, even simpler. You put out this post, you know, on Facebook or Instagram, and I'm definitely, I love face-to-face so much. Like, I'm like, please stop texting me. I only want to text you with data. Like, I can't stand texting because I feel like it's the most misconstrued and not like you can't read body language and you can't see what they're thinking. And like, is I don't like texting, but it's something that so many people do now, right? But what happens when you text and then it's 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours? Maybe they don't even get back to you until the next day. Like, did I say something wrong? Then all the doubts, right, start to go in your head. And now on Facebook and Instagram, you can heart it or like it or whatever. What was it? Our pastor this last Sunday called it doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, what a horrible concept, doom scrolling. I just was like, it is. It's like a giant doom. But you really don't have to pay attention. You sort of like, you're like, hurt, hurt, like, hurt, like, you know. We all would like to get a response. We would all like to get to know somebody's out there listening to us, hearing us, you know. Anyway, so there's all of these things. But I was reading this morning and it came up. And so why do you think discouragement? I think some things that I found, first of all, and I know it says it in the Bible. I know it says it in like every psychology thing out there, every counseling thing, right? We all need to stop, major stop comparing ourselves to each other, to our family, to our friends, to absolute strangers out there. What is, we're going to have to dig into this a little more, but what is our need to compare ourselves with everybody else? And then that comparing ourselves, especially if we're doing it on social media, there is complete false expectations because that's not real. That's just this technological virtual world. There you go. Virtual world that doesn't even really exist. Mm-hmm. And most people put out their best, right?
Right.
So you're not putting it. I mean, some of us are trying to be a little more vulnerable and transparent and honest and whatever. Doesn't always work to our advantage. We've talked about this with the getting behind the masks, but so then I think the other thing that we forget, and I was thinking about this morning, we have choices to make. They are choices. How do I respond when it doesn't, right? And then how do I rebuild my confidence? And even though culturally money is one of those things we attribute to success, is that really where the value lies? Mm-hmm. We were chatting in our pre-conversation before this, my heart, even though I'm a little overwhelmed this morning, is so full. And it came from my 11-year-old grandson. He was like, Aulia, because that's grandma in Latin. He says, Aulia, I want to give you a high five. I want you to know you're doing it and you are great. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you. That kid made my day. He made my year. That is intrinsic value. If I didn't know that I was loved, if I didn't know that I was important, I sure as heck know right now. He just wanted to make sure. He goes, oh no, Owie, you need high fives. You're doing it right. And I'm like, oh, love that kid. So where do we get our encouragement from? Where do we fill up our tanks, right? So there you go. That's kind of my beginning.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, T?
So sociologists could talk about this for hours. Here's the thing. So throughout history, safety came in numbers. We had to belong to a group. And in order to stay in that group and not to be exiled from that group, we had to acclimate to the rules and norms of that group. We still have that in us. We still desire to be a part of the group. So that's a factor. When we feel discouraged, it's often because we're not feeling like we're measuring up to a group. So that's a piece of it. It's not all of it, because some of that discouragement comes from our expectations of ourselves and how we value what we're doing. And we hold that up in light of what we see as being done. So that's where it ties into that sociology piece. We're looking to see how what we're doing fits in with the group, and we have different ways to measure that. And so some of that comes from validation. We need to be validated. Of course. I mean, if you keep doing something that's not working, that's a problem. So how do you know it's not working? Well, some of that comes from validation. What are others saying? How are they responding? So when we choose to keep doing something and we're not getting that validation, we feel empty and we feel discouraged. So one of the things that you said that's really important, Lori, is that needing to be seen component. Mm-hmm. We have this need sometimes to be seen. There's power in being seen. We've talked about that in the past. When others see what we're doing and respond, it encourages us to continue. And I certainly understand the frustration and the discouragement, because there's a lot of times I'll be really into something I'm doing and I share it, no matter how it is. And if I'm not getting any response, if there's that crickets, it's mm-hmm. like, it somehow translate. I end up translating it into defining me as the person. And so when I get stuck in that, I often end up in pity party mode. And some of the things is like, not even my friends and family care. They don't even, you know, they can't even take the 10 seconds to look at this and give me a response. But how many times have I missed giving a response and giving feedback? And I know why that is. It has nothing to do with that other person. It just happens to do with whatever's going on in front of me, or I didn't get notified or whatever. So it reminds me of this analogy of, if you're walking down the road and you see someone you know and you wave at them and they don't wave back, what's your first thought? There's a lot of times, oh, they must be mad at me, or I did something wrong, or... well, they're not who I thought they were, you know, they're not very friendly. When it turns out, they probably just didn't see you.
Yeah.
So it's the meaning we attribute to things, that we give things and whatnot. So, but it's so easy to get caught up in that. And like I said, I think a lot of it comes back to sociology, of like just wanting to belong to that group, wanting to have some sense of belonging. We're driven by that. There's safety in numbers. And a lot of people would argue we don't need that nowadays. And I would argue that yes, we do. There is still safety in numbers. It just looks different than it did back when we were, you know, it was us against the dinosaurs, you know.
Right.
You know, it looks different, but we still need numbers.
Yeah.
Amen. I agree with that. I think you're very right. It
happens occasionally.
You're so cute. Even introverts, I think we've talked about this before, but the way that we're created, we are not, I mean, we're created relationally. We were built to have different pieces of another person fit within us, right?
Yes.
Whether you want to attribute that sexually, emotionally, sociologically, we're not complete without others, family, loved ones, friends. That's who we are as people.
Yeah, we
even
are
introverted
definitely
people.
Yes. Well, introvert. Well, first of all, introvert doesn't mean that we don't need other people. We actually need other people. We still need to socialize. We still need to interact. It's a part of our need. However, we also have another part where we need that time to ourselves. That's where our need lies more, is just to be able to recharge. Whereas an extrovert, they still need their quiet time and self-care time, but they don't recharge with it. And so, you know, just because someone's an introvert doesn't mean they don't like people and aren't good at it. They're actually very good at it, and they do like people. Matter of fact, they probably even like people more because they're a little bit more selective on who they're letting in. So, but the other thing too is that in that we're created to be relational is absolutely true, because if you look at scientific studies, like if you go to the Heart Institute, they have found that when we walk into a room with another person, our hearts start talking to each other. Their electrical impulses start responding to that other heartbeat. Same with in our brains and in our bodies. If you there's this thing called mirror neurons that they've only recently kind of really been able to identify and define, but I call them the monkey see, monkey do neurons. When you smile at someone and they smile back, that's those mirror neurons kicking off. And I call it monkey see, monkey do, because they first really identified this by watching monkeys, but it's some Italian researchers, just if anybody's interested. But you know, so that's from the very first, just as infants, in order to be nurtured, we have to see faces. We need the face of our parent who's holding us. And if you watch a baby, they just study that face. And then those mirror neurons start kicking off. If you smile, they start to smile. They discover those muscles. So, and we're so reliant on our caregivers. We're so vulnerable. We're some of the most vulnerable creatures at birth. And yet we're apex, we're top of the tier, right. You know, it's so interesting. I can go off for hours on this, probably shouldn't. I had one other thought to kind of go along with how we're such relational creatures and we need that encouragement. I might have to wait for it to come back to me. I talk to myself in a circle maybe.
Yeah.
Now I was thinking about the NICU, you know, the babies, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk
in
about.
Stress. Okay. That skin to skin contact is the best thing for them, and they have a much greater chance of survival, right?
Yeah. During World War II, with all the orphanages, they were so full that they didn't have time to hold the babies. Literally, the nurses would go from bed to bed to bed. Bottle, change, dress, bottle, change, dress, clean up, whatever. But there was no holding them. And one of us, the psychological researchers of that time, studied the outcomes of these orphanages, and the death rates, the infant mortality rates were off the charts. The lifelong, you know, like lifetime was shortened drastically. These kids did not grow into old age, and they had major significant behavioral issues, had a hard time getting and keeping jobs and being productive members of society. So we know that it is imperative to have that relational aspect, that relational. So we are built for that. So we need that validation. We need those things to know how we're fitting, if we're succeeding at what we're doing. And so it's hard sometimes when we're not feeling encouraged, not feeling seen, we end up feeling kind of like adrift and like, well, what do I do with that? How do I define? And then we end up defining ourselves by that. We end up saying, I am statements. Well, you know, I'm too much, or I'm not enough, or, you know, those type of statements kind of come from that, all of that mixed together.
Right. And it's a connection is definitely important. And I feel like, I love the internet, but I think the internet kind of took away some of that. The face-to-face and the, in-person type encouragement, because and it's so easy to go online and do these things and then not have any kind of response, which is definitely what I've experienced.
Yes,
and
me too.
we put stuff out there. I put low content journals out there. I put stuff out on my Etsy shop. I put out stuff on Printify and like nothing. It's like, but they're good stuff. Like people love them. They've said that, like they've looked at them and they've said that. And then I don't get sales, and it's, you know, and it's not that I'm looking for thousands of dollars, but supposedly this is supposed to be passive income. But, you know, are your friends actually going to be the ones that are going to go on your website or your site or your shop and buy the stuff? Or is it going to be strangers? Probably is going to be strangers, because oftentimes we put our skills and abilities and talents out there, and our immediate friends and family benefit from those for free. And we talked previously about balancing life. And that's where we kind of came from and got this idea, was let's talk about discouragement, because it can be very discouraging when you're in that time of trying to figure out the balance.
Mm.
How often can I give up my skills and abilities and share them with people for free because it encourages them? But it could be discouraging me because I'm a professional in that field and I technically should be getting paid for this, but I'm doing it for free. And, you know, there's definitely scriptures about not doing things for selfish reasons. So we always have to be careful that we're not desiring that for only selfish reasons, to have be put on a pedestal because you're the best in that field or something. But having skills and abilities is not a bad thing. And having connections and having, face-to-face connections, those aren't bad things. But yeah, introverts, I think, like you said, T, I feel like as introverts, we are more people because we do tend to have a small core group of friends and some like closer acquaintances and like friends, and that we want to spend the majority of our time with, but still have our alone time later to still kind of recoup. Whereas people like extroverts often can become friends with anybody they're sitting on a bus with, at a movie theater, I mean, all that stuff. Like, and I'm like, Lori will do some things and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to this person, this random stranger? So yeah. And I feel like again, with the balancing of life, you know, we have to know what our passions are. So, and I think T, you had mentioned this in the previous episode, possibly, or maybe the one before that, about knowing the why. And I know you brought it up when we were talking about the notes for this. And also, I feel like that's kind of where we're going, is knowing why we're doing what we're doing. And if we love what we're doing, it doesn't matter what people say. So we should not be discouraged if it doesn't do well, because we're doing something we enjoy. Right. I enjoy making journals. I enjoy making low content stuff. I enjoy self-publishing. I enjoy putting stuff out on my Etsy shop. I enjoy being creative and creating designs to put on t-shirts and putting it on a shop. If it doesn't sell, that's okay. I'll buy it because it's the shirt that I want. I wouldn't have made it if I didn't, you know?
Right. Well, and that's, I think, a piece of it too, is that, like, I know that I've gotten discouraged. You know, I've got my own YouTube channel and, TikToks. Actually, TikTok is a great way to feel better, because the views you can get, bam, like that. It's like, whoa, yeah. How'd that happen? But then you go into the analytics and you realize they watched 2 seconds of it and it didn't really count. So, you know, again, that might not have been a wise choice for me to do, because that was a little discouraging after I felt encouraged. But anyway, I'm not, but like, and I've got an Etsy shop. I've got those things too. And But the thought behind it was, I'm making this stuff anyways. This is my hobby stuff. This isn't stuff I'm using to make money, thankfully. Would it be nice? Absolutely. Who couldn't
Well,
use a few
no.
extra bucks? But it's like, if it's my jewelry, I was making it anyway. I just can't wear it all.
Exactly.
You
Yeah.
know, when I get into a sewing mode, you know, right now I am sewing with purpose. Like, I've got grandkids and myself and whatnot, so they're being gifted out. But there's going to come a point where I'm sewing just to sew. I have no place for it to go. Might as well, you know, make some of the material money back. So that helps for me, because then I can put it in that perspective of like, well, you know, it's just stuff I had anyway. I'll gift it, you know, whatever. But then there are those thoughts that come in. It's like, well, people say they like it, but now I know they don't mean it.
Ouch.
You
Yeah.
know, I think I had a friend who knows me really well. But I think I said something about, well, have you actually listened to the podcast? She was like, oh no, I don't have any time. I was like, oh, okay. How did that make me feel? I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and we've always discussed this. We don't do the podcast. We're not out here to make $1 million or whatever.
Right.
A lot of this is transformative in our own lives. It's good for processing. It's good for sharing. And what we're hoping, our goal with the podcast is that we are helping others, that we are offering wisdom, discernment, a safe space to come and learn how to live a transparent, vulnerable, sometimes discouraged, other times encouraged life, rich, full life, right? And so I know this is kind of in combination, like you said, DJ, with last week. How do we find that balance? How do we? I think one of the biggest things I have to remind myself is, even though there is a need for others, isn't helpful when it's used for comparison.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing we can do, is to remind ourselves that we are uniquely and individually created and made, right? We are not ever, and we don't need to, we weren't made to measure up to some particular standard. I want to be at peace and just be able to just be and just be happy with what I got from my grandson this morning. The fun that we had last night, you know, the fact that, you know, by speaking up, and then that's the other thing too. So, you know, you had mentioned EJ. Well, how do we get that stuff out there? You know, I think for me, I learned simply by speaking up while I was on vacation. We doubled our Facebook presence, right? All I did was talk to random strangers, which you asked, why do I do that? Because I do have a story to share. Because I do. So if I take the scripture, like Jeremiah 29:11, that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans of peace and prosperity, and not to harm you." If I have that in my head, and then I speak up because I know that God's plans for me are for peace and prosperity, then I'm now giving an opportunity for others to respond, which they wouldn't have had had I not spoken up, because they didn't know me from Adam, so they say, you know, they didn't know me from me. They didn't know who I was. But as I spoke up, all of a sudden they were like, oh, I had the longest conversation. I could not believe it. It was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. I said one thing to this nice lady sitting next to me. And next thing you know, 2.5 hours later, plane ride was over. And she was encouraged and I was encouraged. I was exhausted too. It was a little bit exhausting. But I also, yes, I'm an extrovert. So that is part of where I get my charge. But even though I was tired from it, and I really was, I actually brought a magazine this time. And I was actually looking forward to browsing through it. And I even started the plane ride with my headphones off. And I took them off because I saw something. And then I responded 2.5 hours later. The plane ride is
always
over.
Happens to me.
Right. Mm-hmm. It was.
It's interesting that God made me an introvert, but people think I'm an extrovert. But, every time I go anywheres, it is exactly like that.
But it was good. I know for a fact that that woman that I was speaking with was encouraged. I know for a fact that she felt heard and validated. Mm-hmm. And amazingly enough, I know I talk for a living. I write for a living, right? I probably carried a quarter of that conversation. She just needed to be heard,
yeah,
and validated.
Well, and I think, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, and I was thinking, it's kind of reminded me of something. These are things we enjoy. If we were talking about the why we do something, if we don't enjoy it, or we realize we're only doing it for somebody else, is it really worth keeping at it? Doing the things that we enjoy, it doesn't become a chore.
Amen. Amen.
It's not discouraging. It can be that, oh yeah, I'm not making any sales. Okay. Do you enjoy making this stuff? Yes. Tina loves making the jewelry. And like she said, she can't wear it all. So she could sell it or give it as gifts. So I feel like that's kind of also something we have to keep in mind.
It's a good question.
Yeah, because I know there's been times I've had to stop doing things because I realized I'm not enjoying this. I'm doing this for somebody else. Or the desire and the reason why I started it. In fact, here's a good example. About 2 or 3 years ago when I was working with somebody, they're like, you should, because they found out that I like to read, and I had read in 1 year like 36 or 37 books, and apparently they thought that was a lot, but it's not, it's bare minimum. I happened to put reviews out on Goodreads. I, you know, give it a star rating, and then just like Goodreads, it asks you what you like, whether you liked it or not, what you would give it as a star rating, and then you have the option of typing in a little comment. And if I was really passionate about the book, for a pro or a con, I would always put out a good response. And they're like, you should turn that into a YouTube channel. Well, I have no desire to be on YouTube. I'm like, I don't want to work. I don't want that kind of work. Podcasts is one thing. But I know what my people I follow on YouTube do to deal with podcasts. And I was like, I don't want to do that. That's, to me, that's not what my passion is. And I started a YouTube channel. I think I put one video out, maybe two. And then the same person was like, oh, well, then you should have a segment on your channel that was about author interviews. Because we're going to be making, you know, because this was somebody I was working with for a business at the time. And they're like, you should interview the authors that you work with. Well, I don't, no. So then Lori was going to do that. She was going to have a segment on there. think we did two or three interviews, and then like I did like one or two videos outside of that. And I was like, no, this is not it. This is too much stress. I want to do something fun. Like, give me a website. I'll build that before I go and do a YouTube channel, like specifically for that. Now, as I have grown and I have other things going on and I'm thinking about things, I'm thinking, well, maybe I can rebrand that channel into something different. Because it's like EJ's downtime. So it's not like it could be anything, which honestly I've considered and I still may do something with it. But I was like, I'm not going to stress myself out on this anymore for something that I don't have a passion in. And the person was kind of giving me pushback. I'm like, well, your look should look different, or your, you know, channel banner should look this different, or you should have it this color in the channel banner because it looks, well, no, I don't like any of those colors you just suggested. I'm going to use the color that I like. And so then I was realizing I'm doing this for somebody else. I'm not doing this for me. I'm done.
I like that you said two things that were important. Who are you doing for? And if it's causing you stress and it's not a part of your job, then what are you doing? Because it isn't really bringing you joy, right? It's not really enriching your life. It's causing a giant headache. And I do remember that because I did do a couple of interviews because you were like, no, I don't really want to do this. And so I did the interviews with the authors. And then I think it was really funny because, you know, I've been told that I have a good voice, right? We all get told these things, right? And we go do them. And I think both of those people ended up tearing me apart and not being happy with the interviews or be, you know, I don't know what exactly their issue was. But anyway, it was not successful. And so we ended up, you know, not moving forward with that. But so how do you come back from something like that? Psychologically, T, what are the things we can do? What are some of the steps we can do to come back from that? Because it really wasn't a good experience. And I ended up being hurt in the process. I know EJ had some hurts in the process. How do we psychologically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, what do we do? What are some of the steps we do to come back from that?
It's some self-reflection and it's on three P's. And I just came up with this while everybody's talking.
I love it. I'm ready.
Purpose.
Give me those three P's. Purpose.
What is our intention and what is our why? What do we want the outcomes to be? So what's our purpose? What's our perspective? Our perspective comes from our experiences and the roles that we play in our world. Mm-hmm. And so we have a unique perspective on each situation. So if we're struggling with something and discouraged, we just might need to change our perspective of what's going on and reevaluate through that. And then there's perception. That comes from our experience, and it also comes from knowing who we are. Mm-hmm. Who we are. I'm an introvert. I have times where I have social anxiety, so therefore I may not translate everything correctly, because when I do the, well, this, none of this is selling, nobody seems interested. So the people who said it's pretty or it looks good or it's nice must have lied to me. That's my social anxiety talking. And so I have to sit back and go, is it true? I might not know one way or the other. So then it kind of comes back to, does it matter? It might. And a yes is a valid answer. It might matter. But so it really just comes down to, what is our purpose? What is our perspective? And what is our perception?
Awesome.
And any answer to any of those is valid and correct, but it can help direct what we're going to do next.
I know we've talked about this before, and I know I talk about it a lot with my counselor. We need to take I think something else I have to remind myself is the judgment that goes along with my answers to many of those. I want to judge them. I want to give them a value.
Sure.
Whereas what I really need to do is just let them be. Just
sometimes,
you know,
sometimes
I don't,
but being aware of our judgment of it is still important. Being aware, maybe not using it always to make the decisions for yourself about yourself, but the judgment is important to be aware of because it can be a clue as to what's going on.
Yes. Yes.
So if I'm like, for example, it, you know, with that statement of, well, they must have lied to me when they said it was nice. Right. And then yep. I sit and I look at that. Now I could be like, oh, Tina, there you go again. You know, you're being all anxious. You don't know what they're thinking, blah, blah, blah. Okay, there's a tone to that that is kind of happening. And I need to be aware of that. I need to be aware mm-hmm. of like, oh, ouch, Tina, what are you doing? You know, and kind of sit back and say, okay, what is my purpose? How important is this to me? How important is this person to me? Is this a game changer? It might be, and that's okay. But I do need to have some judgment and discernment with those things, at least be aware of what they are, because it can be my indicator. It could be my, you know, speedometer. Like, oh, yeah. I'm going down that route too fast.
I really want to identify something here. EJ does such a great job at the beginning and the end of our segments with reminding our listeners to please not let this, what we're saying, be a replacement
sure.
for doctors, professionals, right? And yes, we acknowledge T is a professional, but this is a podcast that you're listening. I really want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you've gotten to a point where that discouragement is overwhelming you, please, 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 with all my heart, I ask you to speak up, seek help, good professional help. Sometimes it's medication, sometimes it's just a counseling appointment. Sometimes you need a 1-800 number. Sometimes you're in crisis. Please identify that. Please let this podcast and whatever else you're listening to that's niggling at you to get help, to get help.
And the reason that
we should even put a trigger warning on this one, because discouragement is so overwhelming. It really can. We don't even realize it, right? And then all of a sudden, we're severely depressed. We're severely anxious. And we're getting buried alive with that.
Please, and it's so and it's so important to do that, because even though we're talking in generalizations and our own personal experiences, and I'll even share, you know, what I share with clients, it's educational. It's intended as educational. And the reason that is because I don't know your story. I don't know all the experiences that got you to where you're at. I can't see that. I can't hear that. So yeah. I can only base the things I say on my own experiences and my own observations and the education. Then I can share that part of it with you, but you only know your story best. And so you know what your needs are. And like Lori says, if you can't access like a professional counselor, some other ideas is the 1-800 numbers. There are self-help sites. There are groups online. Just be careful. Know your sources. Church, go to your pastor. Get that. Have them connect you with someone. Peer counseling is a thing that's becoming more and more available. And that's just based on people who have had the same experiences, have had successful outcomes, and they're trained to be able to use that to come alongside you as yeah. you're going through your things. And you know that this yeah. person, hey, I'm not speaking Greek to them. They know what I'm talking about.
Right. That life coaching and yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's all sorts of resources, even if you don't have a lot yourself. a lot of resources yourself. The hard part is if you're in the state that kind of Lori's talking about, you may not have the energy. Just consider it an investment. You're spending the energy to get more later.
Yes. Yes.
That's my biggest suggestion.
Beautifully said. And I'm so grateful that we have EJ with us, who's, I know I can see her working away in the background there. And she's going to be putting some links and things in here. And I want to make sure when we put this out there, we do put a little bit of a trigger warning. I didn't even think about it. And all of a sudden it just hit me. I'm like, I feel like this, we're getting into some deep waters here. And we had discussed that when we were talking about this, but all of a sudden it just really hit me. Maybe somebody out there just needs to be reminded. It's okay. Discouragement is something very, very difficult. And it's not easy. We're not trying to put a band-aid on it. We're not trying to just laugh it off or, you know.
Like most of our topics, this came up because we ourselves experience it. And a lot of times these topics are coming out of current events, current experiences, current feelings and thoughts. It's based on something that's just relevant to us right now until we start getting suggestions. So if you want to hear something, let us know.
Yes, please let us know. So thank you so much, ladies. Once again,
Sounds good. Amazing topic.
Yep. Amazing responses. And I look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah. Well, just a friendly reminder that anything discussed in this podcast is not to be used as a diagnosis or replacement for conversations with your own doctors, therapists, psychologists, or other medical professionals. This episode is on YouTube, our website, and most major podcast platforms. If you're not a subscriber, we'd love for you to be one. So don't forget to like and subscribe to keep up with our future episodes. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as Behind the Mask PC. You can email feedback or future episode ideas to us at behindthemaskpc@gmail.com. You can listen to the podcast directly on our website at behindthemaskpc.com and find all of our links for the podcast and us as individuals on the site and in the description of this episode. On behalf of the ladies and myself, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.